Well, praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord's made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And today is the day we have been waiting for. Tonight is the night we've been waiting for. And it's interactive. Now, what do you mean interactive? That means I want you to be a spectator. I know you're going to take notes. And those of you who have registered already, you have your worksheet there with all of the scriptures. And I'm going to just mention some of the scriptures. I won't read them all. If I do, we'd be all night. And I'll just make reference to some of them as we move through this teaching. Two parts. First part is Revelation. And that once you get the revelation, you need the second part. So plan to stay with me throughout because that second part is the application. I believe that at the end of the night, you're going to know how to recognize the voice of God in your life, how God speaks to you, and you will know how to boldly act on it and get amazing results. Amen and amen. Now, let me just, before I get into the lesson, let me just kind of reiterate something that the staff, my host and hostess panel have given. And that is, if you have not registered, you need to register. Why? Okay, because this series that I'm going to be giving you tonight, I'm giving you that's like me handing you $30. You follow me? It's about, well, it's really more than that because series is going to save you more than $30. But it's about how to make the best of bad situations. When you're in a bad situation, a poor situation, how to make the best, how to maximize that. And that is worth its weight in gold, just to know how to strategize through a bad situation. Now, I'm giving you that, but you got to register. You have to register. And that's important. And so I'm looking at my registration numbers. And yeah, you know, don't wait until the last minute. Now, don't wait until the last minute. I want you to do that. I want to say to all of the pastors who said, yes, I'm going to be a part and even post it on your social media pages. Thank you, all of the pastors. And even though this is a virtual setting, Pastor Sharp snuck in. And praise the Lord. It is why they didn't sneak in. And, you know, they're always welcome. And, of course, you know, Pastor Vinson, Dr. Vinson, y'all see him with me many times on the conversation. He wanted to come and be a part as well. Amen and amen. If you need agreement where I can agree with you to hear from God on something specific, they gave you the information. I'll be talking about it again, but I want to do that. It is the will of God for you to hear, to know his voice, and then for you to know his timing. All right, y'all ready? Everybody's ready? Those of you have your notes, get ready. And now those who are, I want the notes. I already told you, you have to pre-register to get the, I want to outline, I want to script. I told you already. I've been on it for over a month saying, okay, you need to register ahead of time. That's the only way you get the outline. Now, if you say, well, I want the notes, of course, go register VIP, and I'll send you the notes. Are you ready? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. This word falls on good ground, and it produces fruit in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, allow them to hear the voice of God through this moment and through my mouth in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for transformation that will take place. Boldness that will take place and the outpouring that you promised that will take place tonight as a result of this gathering around your word. And Holy Spirit, since you know us name by name, situation by situation, we believe that you will tailor this word for every individual. That is our prayer. So in advance, we give you alone the praise, the glory, the honor and adoration for all that shall be accomplished and all that shall be revealed in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. Our opening scripture there is in 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 23. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 23. It says, when David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go up, but go around behind them and come upon them over the opposite, the mulberry or balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then bestir yourselves, for then has the Lord gone out before you to smite the army of the Philistines. And David did as the Lord had commanded him, and he smote the Philistines from Geba to Giza. All right. Now, that's going to be our foundational passage, because in this passage, like no other passage, we see both the voice of God being recognized and the timing of God being respected. Now, I know many would say, for you to attack both timing and of God and knowing the voice of God is a monumental task. But I believe the Lord, I've often taught on them separately, but I know the Lord has given me the insight to teach on them together, because really they are kind of inseparable. When I hear what God says, recognize his voice, and he gives instruction, me following those instructions will be the key to a supernatural move in your life. Well, here in the text, as a recap, David has just become the king. And the Philistines, they wanted to really try to destroy him in the infancy of his reign. Well, the first time they tried to destroy him and attack him, they failed. And that is where we get the whole God is the God of breakthrough, that Baal-perazim. But here in the text, the Philistines have regrouped and they're coming after him again. And this time, David does not do what most people do. Most people, because they were victorious at one time, they are presumptuous and believe it's going to be all right the second time. But he pauses to get the voice of God and the timing of God. And as a result, he experiences a supernatural victory. Now, years ago, God tells me he's going to teach me how to trust him. He's going to teach me how to live by faith. There I am in the little raggedy rundown building that I always show you. Well, why you keep showing that building? Because the Lord told me to. That's where I was in 1980 when God told me, I'm going to teach you how to live a supernatural life. I'm going to teach you how to trust me. I'm going to teach you how to live by faith. And as a reluctant student, I said, okay, God, okay, let's do this. Now, the whole point of this whole understanding how to hear God, I've always been able to hear the voice of God from a child. What? Yeah, from a child, I was able to hear the voice of God. And following God and boldly obeying God has brought supernatural things into my life. Well, as we get ready to teach this, to walk in any truth, there are several things that you need. Number one, you need a revelation, an understanding of that truth at the level of your comprehension. Number two, you need a role model. You need an example of that truth lived out in the life of another. Number three, you need a regimen of faith, a systematic way of applying the word of God in your situation so you get results. Then number four, you need a righteous resolve, a godly reason for wanting that principle to work. And I believe tonight we will give you all three of these. Amen. All four of these. All right. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, power of revelation is amazing, because there, Matthew chapter 16 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Jesus had asked the question, who do men say that I am? And they began to answer one and another. And he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. So this is Jesus' commentary on that point. He says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Stay with me now. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Watch this. And upon this rock. Now, what rock is he talking about? He's talking about the rock of revelation. Upon this rock of revelation, as it were, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that's important, because Jesus says that he will build us up based on revelation. That's why tonight is so important, because you understand tonight is not about entertainment. You understand tonight is not about me, and I shouldn't say it like that, but I'm not going to be hooping and hollering and that sort of thing. What you're going to get tonight is revelation from the word of God that is going to build you up. First, let's go with this, because you must understand the magnificence of God. What the magnificence of God. And that is, he is the creator of everything. Romans, Isaiah 48 and 26. And in that we find he says that there's no searching of his understanding. And then in Colossians chapter 1, he talks about him being the creator. So God now is the creator. You say, well, you didn't read all that. That's why you should have registered, because those who registered have the scriptures. Okay, don't rub it in. All right, I'm not going to rub it in. Let me just keep moving. All right, now. But what the advantage you do have is they did put it on screen. Now you got to do is, you know, watch it and, you know, go back. All right, watch this now. So when we look at God, the magnificence of God, look at these three things. Number one, God, the God of the universe is the creator. All right. The God of the universe is a communicator, and the God of the universe desires to commune. Now, that's important that we understand that God, he magnificently made the earth, and in his magnificence, and he made the earth, he made things that are seen and things that are not seen. He is the creator. He is a communicator. So he makes man so that he can communicate with man. So I want you to clearly understand that when God created and made everything, he made everything to follow a pattern. Now, here's the great thing, that he is a God who desires to commune. He desires to commune. Put that back up there. He desires to have communion with us. Now, this that desire to have communion means he wants to talk to you. See, you don't have to beg him. He wants to talk to you. Now, there in the comment section, I need somebody to, I need you. God wants to talk to me. God wants to talk to me. I need you to put that down. Now, here's why this is so vitally important. It's because, you know, we have to dispel the myth that God, that God wants to keep everything to himself, and that God is alienated from us. Truth of the matter is, he wants to commune. Look at my definition for commune. What God does, he is to converse or talk together, usually with profound intensity, intimacy, etc., interchange thoughts or feelings. So when we talk about God, this is what he wants to do. But see, I have to get out of my mind that God doesn't want to talk. A lot of people don't think God won't talk to them. But God wants to talk to you. Amen and amen. Now, so when we look at the scriptures and I'm looking at the magnificence of God, we see in Revelation chapter 3, look at how God initially says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, oh, watch this, hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. There's scriptural foundation that God wants to talk to you. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to know his voice. Amen and amen. Now, so Adam sins. God creates Adam. Adam is a speaking spirit. Adam sins. God sends Jesus back to pay the price so that he can restore conversation with man. Now, this is important because what we're going to see is God has set everything up so that you can know his voice, so you can hear his voice, because it is the order of God that you do. Now, why do you keep saying that? I keep saying it because it is the reality of scripture. All right, let's go through these scriptures. All right, watch this. In Psalms 8, it says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Look what he goes on to say. He says, watch it, that I made him a little lower, for you made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. Look at this. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. Put all things under his feet. All right, that scripture tells me I'm on God's mind. You are on God's mind. Now look now in John chapter 14. It says, and I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. Watch this. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Now, this is Jesus talking to the disciples about the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he tells them, now he's with you now, but what's going to happen in the future is he's going to come and he's going to set up residence with you in you. So when I understand this, let me get a little ahead of myself. I'll understand that there's the resident voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, desiring to talk to me. And when I began to initiate conversation, I will hear his voice. Ooh, that's a heavy statement. When I began to initiate conversation and we used to use a term years ago, practice the presence. I don't have to practice his presence. When I participate in his presence, then I will be developing my spirit to hear from him. Hold on to that. Now, here's another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I love this one because this lets us know. It says, this is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen nor ear heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, this is the New Living Translation. But it was to us that God revealed these things. How? By spirit. For his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep. Come on now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yes. Y'all froze on me. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's spirit. So it says God's spirit knows the thoughts, knows the mind of God. Now we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit. How? Why? So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Now, what am I doing? I'm laying the foundation from scripture. That is, the Holy Spirit wants to talk to you because he wants to let you know the plan that God has for your life. Now, truth for me is what the Word of God says. Now, once I saturate myself with truth and reach the point of believing it, faith is activated and then manifestation comes. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but throughout the night, I'll be sharing this with you. All right, now. Here is the thing I want you to see, because God makes man multifaceted. Yeah, that point. Yeah, understand the multifaceted man. He makes him a speaking spirit. So when God makes man, he makes him a tripartite being. Tripartite being. So when we look at the tripart nature of man, we see, watch this, that man is what? Body. He is soul and spirit. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 lets us know. But when we see spirit of man, heart of man, they're the same thing. Many times when the Bible uses the word heart, it's not talking about this organ that pumps blood, but it is talking, it's a metaphor for the human spirit. You are a spirit being. You live in a physical body and you have a soul. Your soul has five components. Your mind, your will, your imagination, your emotions, and your intellect. Now, why is this so important? It's important because God will communicate through the Holy Spirit to your spirit man, and it will be revealed to your consciousness. That's a mouthful, but I'm going to prove it to you. That's a mouthful, but I'm going to prove it to you. Look, when the Bible talks about heart, in Psalms 39 and 23, it says, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Well, he's not talking about knowing this organ that pumps blood, but that is a metaphor for the spirit of man. And then when Jesus is teaching, he says that when something is sown in when the word of God is sown in a person's heart and they don't understand it, the Bible says the enemy can come and steal it. But he's not talking about this organ that pumps blood. Why are you saying that? Because as I read scripture and I see the word heart, I don't want you to start thinking organ that pumps blood. I want you to begin to think man at his center, at his spirit. So when we want to talk about hearing from God, watch this now. Watch this, God. Watch this. I'm not necessarily hearing him here, but I'm hearing him in the center of my being. I pause on that and let that sink in. I'm hearing him because here is where my spiritual ear is. My spiritual ear is not here. My spiritual ear is where my spirit being is. I hope I didn't leave you. I hope I didn't leave you. All right. Now, so the tripart man is magnificent. I like that he's magnificent because we see Adam was given an assignment to name the creatures, and his mind was so developed that whatever he called it, it agreed with God. God said that's the name of it. Not only that, but watch this. Adam sins, but God continues to talk. Because the myth is that people think, well, God don't talk to sinners. Yes, he does. So if God will talk to sinners, why wouldn't he talk to his children? But that's kind of what you picked up, you know, in religion. No, no, God ain't going to talk to you if you sin. No, he will. God, all right, those of you got notes, I got a plethora of scriptures here. But God talks to Adam before he sins, and he continues to talk to Adam after he sins. And the scripture attests that God speaks to men, women, and children. He talks to Sarah. He talks to Hagar. He talks to Moses. He talks to Saul of Tarsus when he was a murderer. He talks to Mary. He talks to little Samuel, a kid. So if God will talk to them, he's ready to talk to you. He's talking to you. You just haven't listened. Okay, stay with me now. Let me see where we are. Now, watch this. This is good. This is good. It is the priority with God that we honor his word. What? That we honor his word. Now, why is this important? Because God gives us revelation of who he are, of who he is, and how we are to respond to him. He does that through his word. That's why his word is so important. And everything I'm going to give you tonight comes right from the word of God. His word, watch this, in whatever format is charged with power and his commitment. What? His word in whatever format. I'm going to give you seven formats, a way that God says he'll speak to you. Yes. Now, I know you want to choose probably the one that's really exciting, but that's the exceptional and not the norm. The key I want to know is how he's going to speak, and if I know how he's going to speak, I'm going to be tuned in to one of these ways so I can hear what he's trying to say to me. Amen. Now, here's the point, that God says, watch this, that he's going to back up his word. I want to look there in Isaiah. I could go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he says, you know, and that he's going to, in Jeremiah, he says that he'll watch over his word to perform it. That's Jeremiah 1 and 11. But let's look at Isaiah, what he says. Moreover, well, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, I'm smarter than you. Watch this. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and returneth not thither, and returneth not there again, but watereth the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, without producing any effect, useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. There is enough power, and this is what you have to understand. There is enough power in whatever God's word says, in whatever format, to make it come to pass. There is enough power. You've got to be convinced of that. That there is enough power. He says, I'll watch over my word to perform it. Whether he uses any one of these vehicles I'm going to give you in just a moment, he says, I'm going to make sure that what you hear me say and the directive that I give you, I'm getting a little loud already. I'm going to make sure it comes to pass. I'm watching over it, and there's enough power in what I say to make it come to pass. Glory be to God. Now, so it's a priority with God that we honor his word. It's a priority with God that we honor his word. Amen and amen. Now, I want to talk to you now about that we honor his ways, because when it comes to the whole scope of God's timing, we have to understand and see it from God's perspective. See it from God's perspective. Now, all right, now, God lives in one eternal now. God lives. Now, the Bible says, before the mountains were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth, and the word, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From eternity past, eternity present, he lives in one eternity now. But in the scope of eternity, he's carved out time, which can be measured in days, months, years, and that sort of thing. Within the scope of time, we have dispensations. Now, dispensations, that big, you know, Christian word, just simply means a way God deals with people at certain times in history. All right? Now, within the scope of dispensations, there's timing. There is timing. There is a moment in time. I'm going to give you a definition for it in a minute. But there's a moment in time where a specific thing has to be done. Because God has orchestrated things. He set things up, and you have to act within that time. All right, all right, all right. Now, so let's put my definition for timing up there. Put my definition for timing up there. Because I want you to see this. I want you to see this. When it comes to timing, I must clearly understand that God has orchestrated things. Well, that God has orchestrated things. Timing is what the specific designation. All right, all right. Is the specific all right. Timing is the specific designation in time for specific events to take place that is dynamic in its working. God's timing refers to an orchestrated moment when certain action steps must be taken because he has orchestrated things. He has orchestrated things. Now, this is important. Now, years ago, I was talking, something happened in my life that was just amazing. When God's teaching me about his timing, the Lord spoke to me. We had transformed this little raggedy building that had been a beer joint, a peel house where they sold drugs out. God told me to transform it into a church. So we go in there, and boy, in one weekend, we transformed the whole place. About a week or so later, God tells me, he says, announce to the people that you'll have new chairs on Sunday. So, I mean, I announced it, but when I come to myself, I said, I don't know how that's going to happen. But here's what happened. God had already orchestrated people to be in the right place, things to happen in the right way so that could come to pass. Totally supernatural. God tells me to go to Henderson, Texas, to a place called Hall Manufacturing Company. Tells me to go on the weekend when the place is supposed to be closed. Tells me not to call them, but to go. Get one of the brothers, we rent a U-Haul, we go up there on a Saturday. The guy's locking the door when we get there. And he tells us, I really never come to work on Saturday. He said, but I had paperwork I had to get done. And I go in, and he says, well, y'all come on in. We go in, we talk about I tell him I need chairs. He writes up the invoice. Then I tell him I have no money. And I give him my payment plan. No down payment plan. I have driven 240 miles from Houston to Henderson, Texas. What? But watch this. It was orchestrated by God because not only those days you couldn't pick up the phone, get credit check, and all that sort of thing. But he says you got a deal. Shook my head, said, tell you guy, ride around to the back, drive the trailer around to the back. I'll have him loaded up. I got some men in the warehouse today. Amazing. It was in God's timing. He had orchestrated it. The supernatural took place. Amen. All right. So within the scope of time is his timing. And within the scope of timing is seasons. And seasons are when things are in place for something supernatural to happen. Amen. Now, God's timing is very dynamic. It's very dynamic. And I understand that. Now, let's get to the pathways. Yes. To hear from the Father. the pathways to hear from the Father. Remember, I told you earlier, the resident voice of the Holy Spirit is in you. The resident, so you got to know how to tune in. You got to know how to tune in. And so in John chapter 10, there starting in verse, it's 10, verses 3. Yeah, 10 verses 3 to 5. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. All right? And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Watch this. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, what is this saying? He's giving this parable to give an example of the sheep, us, hearing the voice of God. Now, what he says there, it is the will of God for the sheep to know the shepherd's voice. The shepherd doesn't drive the sheep. He leads them, and he leads them by his voice. And he knows them, and they know his voice. And so this is saying, it is the will of God for you to be able to distinguish the voice of God from the voice of a stranger. That's the will of God. So now, let's look at these pathways. Pathways that God will talk to us. They are documented pathways in the Word. Number one, he will talk to us through his written Word. He will talk to us the direct way he will talk with us, and then there's the indirect way that God will talk to us. He will talk to us through his written word. He will talk to us through his audible voice, and he will talk to us through angelic messengers. Now, we all get excited about that audible voice, but that's the exception, not the rule. Amen. I want to hear from God. But listen, what you want to hear from God is, you want to hear from God with your natural ear, but that's not how he promises that he will speak. He does promise that he will speak to us through his word. He promises us that he will speak now through the audible voice. Now, when I got called to the ministry as a kid, I heard his audible voice. I've heard the audible voice of God probably 3 times in my whole life in ministry. I've heard from it. Yes. I mean, I heard from it with this ear. Yes. Really? I heard from it this ear. Now, then the angelic messengers. I've seen angels. What? You've seen angels? I always knew something strange about you. Yeah, I know, but I got a supernatural life. What about you? Now, the Bible talks about seeing angels and hearing God through angels. And boy, those of you have your notes, you see those references that I have there. I have those references there because those references justify what I'm saying from Scripture. And in each one of them, I have at least 2. Now, little Samuel heard the voice of God. It sounded like Eli, but he was hearing God's voice. And when Eli recognized it, he told him how to receive it. All right, again. On the Damascus Road, the Bible teaches us that Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus then, he heard his voice, and even the men around him, they heard, the scripture says, the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So this gives you a validation that there are times when God will speak through the audible voice where you will hear. Now, angelic messages. Angels will appear throughout the Bible. You see, the Bible says an angel of the Lord came unto him. Angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham. Angel of the Lord appeared to Zechariah. I mean, so these messengers, and they'll give you messages. Well, yeah. Years ago, right before the economic earthquake happened here in Houston, angel of the Lord appeared to me. It was when the oil industry turned upside down in Houston. That had to be late 80s, early 90s, and an angel appeared to me. Now, angels are not little fat naked babies that you see at Valentine's time. No, angels are, the Bible says when people saw angels, they went, whoa. And when I saw this angel, I'm going, woo, He was about 10 foot tall. And of course, that's, I'm going to go into that. Yeah, he had on a uniform, too. I don't know what that uniform meant. But I heard what he said. And he said, an economic earthquake is about to hit the city of Houston. And he said, and it is not time for you to draw back, but it is time for you to expand. And it was during that time that we began to expand and buy up land, and we began to plan big. Why? I had had a word from the Lord. There was some property where our superstructure sits on now, and that property had been for sale. I think we were negotiating somewhere around $2 million, but we bought it for $344,401 during the, and it's on the front page of the newspaper, several, and I told the church about what the angel had told me. And on the front page of the news, one of the newspapers in Houston, it says, economic earthquake hits Houston. Uh-huh. And it was a reality, angel told me. Now, let's look at this these other documented pathways that the Lord uses. All right. Now, the indirect. Everybody say indirect. Indirect. All right. I want you to look at these indirect methods. And the indirect method, and I'm saying indirect because they are not recognizable with the five senses. But that is the Holy Spirit who will talk to me, spirit to spirit. The ministry gifts, huh? The ministry, the apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the prophets. He will use those gifts to convey a word to me. Really? Yes, he will. Yes. So I have to understand that these are pathways that I will be able to hear the voice of God. So when the Holy Spirit talks to me, come on, let's put these points on. Let me back up. When the Holy Spirit talks to me, because this is vitally important, I will receive impressions from the Holy Spirit. I will receive intuitions from the Holy Spirit. I will have intrusive thoughts from the Holy Spirit. And watch this, inspirational messages. Now, I need y'all to put that on the screen, please. Amen. Put those on the screen. So you have to take the graph down and put those on the screen. That's vitally important. Y'all need to stay with me. The impressions method. In other words, when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, I will get these bold impressions on the inside. Intuitions. I will have, you know, seemingly, watch this, a perception of truth that's independent of a reasoning process. I have this knowing. We used to say down in my knower. Intrusive thoughts method, where the Bible says he'll cause my thoughts to become agreeable with his will. And so many times God's talking, but we don't recognize that thought came from him. So you're going, God ain't talking to me. And he's been giving you intrusive thoughts that you've been passing up. Oh, that's going to go. Now that could be going. And I'm telling you, you're not recognizing his voice. So that's impressions. I get strong impressions. The intuition. And with the intuition, I have a knowing that I don't know how I know, but I know. The intrusive thoughts. And then inspirational messages. I can be sitting in the church and my hill man of God preaching, and boy, it's like he is reading my mail. And watch this. Oh my God, I got my answer. Yes, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now put the graph back up there. Because here is the key now that he will use. What did I say now? He's going to use the Holy Spirit, but then he's going to also use ministry gifts. I remember several times when God used the ministry gift of my mentors to speak to me. What? Yes. And I knew it was not a passing comment, but I knew it was a kingdom moment, and God was speaking to me. One particular moment was with Dr. C.L. Jackson. Dr. C.L. Jackson, he was one of my mentors. He built a dome church here in Houston, and God had told me to follow him. And one day, well, his dome church, I think it seated about 3,000, and the choir stand set was supposedly, I think, seated about 300. And I'm there with him one day, and I'm looking there at the choir stand, and I said to him, oh, if God would just give me enough members to just fill up, the 300 members, I'd be satisfied. He stopped me and said, no, Hilliard. And he turned me around to the big congregation where all of the seats were. And he said, no, Hilliard. And he said, you will do far greater. Whew. But it was not just a passing commentary. I knew God had used him to speak to me. And from that day, I began to expect,
about to shout. I began to expect God to do amazing things. Amen. Then there was another time God used prophetic gift of my mentor with Apostle Price, Apostle Frederick K.C. Price. I was being persecuted by someone, and when I knew Apostle Price, you know, knew I was telling the truth, I wanted Apostle Price to step in and defend me. And so we were on the phone, and he said to me in this voice, he said, "Ira, the word of God says, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You know how many times I read that scripture? But this was not a commentary for the moment. This was God using my man of God to speak to me. And I knew it was a kingdom moment. And a peace came over my life. Persecution kept going, but a peace came over my life. I'd heard from God. So I'm saying to you, you sitting in your church, and you looking around when you ought to be praying, God, speak to me through my pastor. Speak to me through my man of God. Speak to me through my woman of God. And he will. God uses the gifts of the Spirit as a conduit for his voice. The gifts of the Spirit. Put the graph back up there. He uses the gifts of the Spirit as a conduit for his voice. In other words, he will use the gift of prophecy, or many times the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues, to speak to you. Then he will use visions and dreams. Now, vision and dreams, I know we like them, but he does use. Scripture shows us he uses visions and dreams. Now, you got to be very careful because your visions and your dreams can be invaded by others, by other voices. That's what I'm saying. But you've got to understand how to vet the voices. I'm going to teach that in the second session. That's why you're going to need to stay with me. But now, when you see it, and boy, as I looked at the scripture, I could see many times when God spoke to people. What? He did. He spoke to people in their vision, and it was like, you're watching a movie and you're watching God talk to you, and it stirs your spirit after you wake up, and somehow you know, as Jacob said, the Lord's been in this place. Now, that doesn't mean you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. You got to vet it. You have to vet it, and that's what we're going to talk about. And so the Bible talks about how God appeared to Joseph in a dream, and how God appeared to Abraham in a dream, and how God appeared, oh my God, he appeared to Paul in a dream and a vision. Now, let's look at this point. Oh yeah, we're in good shape. Y'all are smart class. Now, put the protocols. I'm ready to hear from God. I know the ways that he speaks. I know the ways that he speaks. And now, what I need is, give me, man of God, a step-by-step way to position myself and to prepare myself to hear his voice. All right, watch this. It starts, watch this. The Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say in this mountain, be thou removed. So these operate by faith, all right? These operate by faith. Praise the Lord. They operate by faith. What has happened? All right. All right. Do I have enough? Enough on me? Amen. All right. We're going to make it happen. All right. Had a little technical difficulty. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Ah. All right. Y'all need to cut everything off and cut everything off? Okay, that's one. I'm of the deep dark chocolate variety, so I need all light I can get. Amen. All right, let's go. All right, we're not going to let anything stop us. All right, this is the good part. Hallelujah. Now, what am I doing now? I'm getting ready to get you ready to hear God's. This is the way God trained me, and now I'm training you the same way. What? This is how God trained me to hear his voice. All right. Now, and I'm talking about, now when God speaks to me audibly, I don't need any training. I can hear. You understand? But this is, let's look at this protocol. It starts off with word saturation. Word saturation. It's followed by wisdom supplication. What? wisdom supplication. He says, call unto me and I will answer. What? Wait a minute. See, a lot of times we read that and we God said, you talk to me, I'll talk back. Call unto me, I'll answer. All right? So it is all right for me to pray to hear from God. It is all right for me to pray. God, I want to hear from you. I've read your word, and your word says I should know your voice. God, I want to know your voice. I want you to talk to me. Holy Spirit, you're on the inside of me, ready to communicate with my spirit. I'm tuned in the name of Jesus, and I hear, you got to declare it, I hear your voice. All right, watch this. So now that follows wise speaking. I never heard, you don't say that. Faith comes by hearing, but faith is released by the words of your mouth. So you got to begin to speak. I hear the Father's voice. The voice of a stranger I will not follow. The next is willing submission. Now this is what little Samuel was instructed to do. Little Samuel was instructed to say, God, you speak, I hear, and I'll do what you say you want me to do. That willing submission is one of the protocols. What? That willing submission. All right, let's look at the next one now, and that is the worship seed. Oh, there you go. Talk about money again. It's just a protocol. Serious. It's the protocol to hear from God. I see it in Abraham. When Abraham wanted to know about his future, God said, okay, do this. He told him a specific offering to give. He did it. God spoke to him. What? Yes, that's in Genesis chapter 15. Again, we see it when Saul was looking for his father's donkeys. The protocol was, if you want wisdom from God, you have to bring an offering to God. Now, I know a lot of folk want to push away from that, but listen, I'm not here to argue with you. Just turn and go listen to somebody else. I'm only here to God says, he told me, he says, I have prepared ears to hear you tonight. I don't have to apologize for none of this, because he that hath ears to hear will hear. Now, on another occasion when Saul and his servant was looking for his father's donkeys, he said, there is a man who hears from God. He said, but we have to bring a seed. And they did, and the man began to prophet. That prophet began to prophesy over him. On another occasion, when the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he wants wisdom for his life, protocol was there has to be a wisdom seed or a worship seed. On another occasion, y'all hear me now? On another occasion, the Bible says that, Solomon sowed 1,000 burnt offerings. And the scripture says, put that up there. I think that's one of my addendum scriptures. And the Bible says, and that night God spoke to him. All right, watch this. All right, let's go back to the same scripture. It says, Solomon went up to the bronze altar before the Lord and in the tent of meeting and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Watch this. That night, after the seat, that night God appeared to Solomon and said, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Amazing. Solomon answered God, you have shown great kindness to my David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Watch this. Keep going. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed. For you have made me king over people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Watch this. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Now let's go to Kings, 1 Kings. I want you to go to 1 Kings because I want you to see 1 Kings. It says there, and now, Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how long, I know how to go out and come in. So what's this? This is submission, all right? All right. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Watch this. Give therefore thy servant an understanding, heart. Remember now, when we see the word heart, we know it's spirit. So he asked God for an understanding spirit. Whew. That's what I'm saying. And then, watch this, on the heels of him sowing that worship seed. Put the graph back up there. Put the graph back up there. Now, what I'm doing, I'm showing you the protocol. I'm going to start with word saturation. I'm going to wisdom supplication. I'm asking God for it. I ask God, I want to hear your voice. Now, while speaking, I'm going to declare it out of my mouth. Faith comes by hearing, but faith is released by the words of your mouth. Willing submission. God, I'll do what you say do. When I hear what you want me to do, God, I'm bold enough to do it. Worship seed. Now, God, I've demonstrated with my seed, you are source and sustainer of my life. Watch this. Here's the next one. A withdrawn space. Huh? What? A withdrawn space. In other words, there is a place that God that God will speak to you. What? A place? Yes. I remember now in scripture it talks about how God says, now Jeremiah, you go down to the potter's house, I'll talk to you. What? Yes. So if I want to hear God talk, I need to go to the place where he's speaking. If I want to hear him talk, I need to go to the place where he's speaking. Oh, really? Now, there are some places where I hear God. Amen. Now, whenever I'm building, I walk around in the building and I hear his voice. Jesus. The Faith Dome in Los Angeles. Never a time have I been there that I did not hear his voice. There are places, whoo, my God, that I have gone where I hear his voice. Amen. So watch this. Here are some places where I hear his voice. He speaks. Come on, put my places there. He speaks at the place of preaching. He speaks at the place of prayer. See, most people pray and they do all the talking. All right, I'll get to the point. Watch this. He speaks at the place of praise. At the time of worship and praise, he'll start speaking to your spirit. I was the other day, well, it happens all the time, but I was the other day in Dallas, Texas. I was preaching for one of my sons, Evan Connor, there. And during praise, the Lord started talking. Now, I just don't, I can't pick the time the Lord talks to me. I wish I could, because he wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, sometimes I want to say, God, couldn't you have waited until, you know, couldn't you wait until morning? But... But I'm getting ready to preach. And I hear God speaking. Now, God is not obligated to repeat himself. So when he speaks, I always write it down. I write it down. All right? Watch this. So he speaks where? He's speaking at the place of preaching. He's speaking at the place of prayer. He's speaking at the place of praise. And he speaks at the place of preparation. Never a time when I'm preparing what to say to God's people that I don't hear what he says. You know, when I was teaching a course on a sermon preparation and all, and, everybody was just kind of amazed at how you come up with that kind of stuff. Because I'm tuned in. I hear his voice. I hear how God wants to logically, systematically present the word. I hear his voice. See, once you're tuned in, and I think Precious said it the other day, they grew up hearing us talk to God. So it was a commonplace. We talk to God in this house. We hear God in this house. All right, let's go back to my graph. Go back to my graph. Oh, watch this. All right? Saturation, supplication, speaking, submission, the worship seat, the place, the withdrawn space, and watch this, waiting silence. The reason you can't hear is because you're talking too much. You have not gotten in the place where you can hear him. Now, in my next session, I'm going to talk about the competing voices. There are competing voices. The other day, God says, now, son, I want you to be still. I need to talk to you. Woo! Yes, there comes a time when you just need to, come on, be still. Amen. Because, you know, it's in those times when God says, he tell me, I want you to be still because there's some things I need to tell you about your future. What you say? But now, if I'm hustling and bustling, I can't talk to you. All right, watch this. So this waiting silence. The Bible says Elijah needed to hear from God. And there in 1 Kings chapter 19, it says several things happened. It says that there was the wind, and after the wind, that was the earthquake, and all of this. Put that scripture there, 1 Kings 19. But it says now, God wasn't in the wind, and God was not in the earthquake, but it was in the still, small voice. Amen, amen, and amen. That God wants to speak to you, and when you position yourself, all right, it says, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Look at it. Watch this. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. But you got too much stuff going on to hear that still, small voice. Because I'm not talking about what you're hearing here. I'm talking about the cluttering of your spirit. And you have not turned aside to hear, let's go back to the graph, the whispering voice. Amen, amen. That whispering voice. Now, what I'm going to show you is how to move up the ladder, where you will hear the whispering voice. You're not going to necessarily hear it with these ears, but you're going to hear it where? In your spirit ear. And so what I want you to do right now is put your hand right here on your spirit, where your spirit, in the center of your being. And I declare over you, your spiritual ear is open. And as you follow these protocols, you will begin to hear clearly from the word of God. In the name of Jesus, I declare it. Amen and amen. And so, it is a powerful thing to know that God wants to speak to me. And so, as I come to the close, let me use, come on now, as I come to a close, I want to use the word from the psalmist. Help me, y'all. Please get my lights back on. Amen. I want to use the word from the psalmist. There in the Baptist church, we heard this song. The psalmist, the songwriter, he captures the essence of the moment. He says, I come to the garden alone. Y'all know this one. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. Then the refrain goes, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of it, I'm about to go off on here. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Yeah. God wants to talk to you. God's saying, I brought you here to this moment because I'm talking. I need you to tune in so that you can hear. If God will talk to a drunkard like Noah, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to a habitual liar like Abraham, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to a murderer like Moses, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to an adulterer like David, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to a cupbearer like Nehemiah, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to a coward like Gideon, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to a deceiver like Peter, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to Mary, the mother of Jesus, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to a murderer like Saul, Paul of Tarsus, yes, he will talk to you. If God will talk to a trickster like Jacob, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to a single mother like Hagar, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to a widow who is starving, he'll talk to you. If God is talking to a fisherman like Peter, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to a child like Samuel, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to a deacon like Stephen, he'll talk to you. If God will talk to 85-year-old Caleb, he will talk to you. It is no secret what God could do. Yes, indeed. What he's done for others, he will do for you. Let's have this confession. Say this with me. Say this with me. Father, I'm thankful by the grace of God that you desire to speak to me, and my ears are anointed to hear your voice. I am your sheep, and you know me, and I know your voice. In whatever pathway the Holy Spirit brings your voice to me, because I hear your voice, faith is rising in my heart. I have the witness to recognize your timing and the courage with bold obedience, the courage to act with bold obedience. I cancel in the name of Jesus every assignment of the enemy to interfere and to hinder me from hearing your voice. I wait daily in humble expectation of the refreshing that comes every time I hear your voice. I rejoice in advance, knowing there is enough power in your words, in the words you speak to me, to make whatever you say to me come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Y'all give the Lord a shout in this place. Amen. Woo! Amen. Now, did y'all get blessed? Now, listen. That's just the first half. Now, you got to hear the second half. Nobody leaves the game at halftime. Nobody leaves the game at halftime. So I'm encouraging. He said, well, you gave me a lot. But listen, I did not share with you the important application. Gave you the roadmap. Now I want to show you the application, because I got to show you how to get rid of the clutter. I got to show you, watch this, how to vet that word so you know this is God. This is God. And boy, you're about to walk in the supernatural like